Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. We answer the call to keep going forth and to love and to go forth in the love, the same love that sent Jesus to this earth, that we, Lord, would continue in that love. I ask you to bless your people tonight. Lord, bless the Word of God in our lives and bless, really bless the Word by the Spirit. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Tonight's Romans chapter 16. I'd like to think I could get through the whole thing, but I'm not going to say that I could actually do it because I got a bit to say. A couple things arise. So keep your left finger here. I want you to go to Colossians chapter 2. Now, one of the things I want to stir up with all of you when we have put into practice in Romans 12 with prayer and then study to be genuine church by way of gift of prophecy given to us, that Romans 12 was for us. And I think it's been a great blessing. And as I stir that up by way of a remembrance unto us what we've done, and that we would ultimately come through to this, that what I'm seeking to bring forth for all of you is that you would honestly say, I love the church. I love the church. Colossians 2:1, Paul says, for I would that ye know what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And then back, let's see, Galatians, if he's back to Ephesians 1, kind of the opening letters that Paul writes back to the church, that I just want to grab onto a couple of things. So when you hear that tonight, just say, I want to put that phrase before us, knit together in love. So as Paul's writing the letter to the Colossians, again, that's a region, Church of the Laodiceans, again, that's a letter that Paul's writing. And again, by the Spirit, the Word, hearts knit together in love. And I'd like to be able to do that with us as we've been going through Romans. Ephesians 1:6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. So as we come to Romans 16 tonight, and those two phrases have risen, just again, just praying. Again, where we came out of chapter 15, it was Holy Spirit teaches, Holy Spirit fills. And been very clear on this, I would say, for the last 2-3 weeks, that the gifts of prophecy that have been together when we're praying as a church together, and then in meeting with a couple of the Nehemiah homes, stirring up the remembrance of agape and to live that out. Just take those two phrases tonight, hearts knit together in love, and the second one, accepted in the beloved. Now, I know this, that whenever anyone comes in this body of believers, they are accepted in the beloved. Before they're known, before they're, really before anyone even knows anything about you, when you came in, you were accepted in the beloved. And that comes from Ephesians 1:6. And this being knit together in love has a bit more of, time and withness. Time and withness produce that revelation of what sort this is. And I was like, how my pastor says that. He says, you come in and you're accepted in the beloved. And then you come in that. And then whatever reputation you have later on, you earned it. It's an interesting way to put that how we really are with one another, if we are going to, as our Lord taught us, this commandment is to love one another. So in Romans chapter 16, Bronson was stirring up a remembrance when we started Romans. You said it was a year ago. Took a whole year in Romans. That the very first night we studied Romans, we had 16 men each read a chapter. Right? Okay. Anybody remember that? Bronson's not making that up, right? Okay. Anybody else? What I said? What this book? If you will study it and give yourself to do it, what will it do for us? What will it do for you if you give yourself to this? Because we're just about done now, and I'm not going to do a recap when we are done. So tonight's my recap. Anybody want to take a shot at it? And transform your life. Anybody willing to take a shot at that? Like say, yes, it has, or yes, it will, or it did, or has already, or it did again? Good one, right? Okay. So we come to chapter 16, coming out of 15 of the Holy Spirit teaches, the Holy Spirit fills. Anybody remember chapter 14, double E, double plus? Equip and edify, and then to increase and abound, and all fun stuff. But tonight, when I say I love the church, that's people, right? That's people. That's not a building. And I've looked through the scriptures, and I don't think I've ever found where the church gets together and they're talking about their building project. I don't see that in the Bible. But I've been to pastors' conferences where that's all one of the guys can talk about. You know, it's like, because that's what is going on in their lives. And yet, I lay this out. Peter calls us lively stones. You know, I'm going to adjust my ear here. Formerly not a people of God, but now are a people of God. And as lively stones, we're being built together a spiritual house. Peter describes that. And then Paul says the dwelling place of God, the Holy Spirit. And, you know, by way of stirring us all up, we do have this love with one another. Okay, so tonight I've entitled... Back to titles, I take it. I've entitled it Labor and Love of the Church. Labor and Love of the Church. Paul finishes up this transforming book of Romans, and I remind you, it was written to the church. It wasn't written to the seminary students studying theology at any higher learning institution that we now have in the world. It's written to the church. It's written to the, as they say, rank and file, or pew and pulpit, if you will. This is written to us. It's written to the people of God. When he wraps up the letter, he says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is in Centuria. Now, if you've taken a look at where Paul wrote this letter from, it's believed he wrote it from Corinth, and that the letter then was sent from Corinth to Rome, to the church that was there, and it was delivered by Phoebe. And servant of the church of Centuria, and I just simply lay this out, word there for servant. That's the word for deacon, or again, Phoebe, a sister, again, deaconess, right? So deacons, deaconesses in the body of Christ, a servant. Here's what I've learned, and I just hand this off to you. Part of the labor of the church, and then part of the love of the church, it's this simple phrase, servant serve. Centuria is right by Corinth. It's where Paul shaved his head when he took the vow. He met Priscilla and Aquila there in Corinth. They were tent makers. They were from Pontus. They were kicked out of Rome. They were in Corinth at the time. And when he sailed from Corinth, the port going east is Centria. That's where Phoebe's from. Now it's a name that is adapted from Apollo's name in Greek, if I have the right one. And so here you have those that were named after whatever name they were in the world. And again, they weren't compelled to change names. But she's listed as a servant of the church. And then in verse 2 it says that you receive her in the Lord. We spent the last really four studies, chapters 14 and 15, just working this out on receiving one another in Christ, regardless of really any criteria, whether it be weak in the faith or strong in the faith. I think Paul was really laying that out between Jew and Gentile. But it goes farther than that. And I think if we have an eye to see what is happening in the world, that there is a very serious effort to separate peoples along any type of separation that would be possible. So we have something very unique in here in the body of Christ that we were told to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And from the book of Ephesians, Paul here begins by referencing Phoebe, a deaconess, and he says to receive her in the Lord. He's commending her. He's probably sending the letter that he's writing to the church with her, but he's also now at the end of the letter commending her. And I like this phrase, as becometh saints. He says, you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints. Now, again, when you see that word becometh, just think worthy. So in Ephesians 4, verse 1, walk worthy of the calling with which you're called. This is what Christians do. Now this is very important because you're the church, right? We together, we're the church. We are the representation of Christ Jesus in this world to anyone who comes into this place, and likewise whenever we meet anybody when we're out. Now, went for a walk with Zoe right before service tonight, walked up and down the block when it's windy, just got to stay in one direction because otherwise it's too cold to walk. And as we're walking, Pastor Jeff from the Methodist Free Church pulls up for service tonight, and just timing, and kind of waited a bit to say hey to him and just greet him in the Lord. And you're going to get a lot of this tonight. Greet and salute in the Lord. And just find, hey, what's service got? You got some work to do tonight. He's the pastor. They're meeting together. And I don't know if Zoe knew this, but the two guys down the block across the street, who when we were walking by, I'm like, well, we're not going to walk right by them. They were hooting and hollering. I think they were getting ready to drink beer because work was over. And when we were walking by, they saw us talk to Pastor Jeff, and they started to speak against Christ to us as we were walking back home. Did you even know that was going on? Yeah, see. Well, we just kept talking, right? But I heard what they were saying. Now, why I say it this way is like, just by us loving on Pastor Jeff and just greeting him, this part of us living this out and having this, receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, it's worthy. And so this is what I learned. And this is why when I, again, for the men at the men's conference, our theme to continue in the things you've learned and been assured of, knowing whom you've learned them from. So I've always continued in this phrase, accepted in the beloved. The thing that blew me away when got up from where I was trying to go to church, kind of not really commitment lacking, all that stuff, and came to the Word of God, and when I found the teaching of the Word of God, so just take the context of Romans, you know, the Holy Spirit teaching, the Holy Spirit filling, that's where we came the last 2 weeks, and I showed up at Calvary Chapel St. Paul to visit, took my whole family with me, my dad, two of my brothers, it's like, I'm going here this weekend, and got up and went all the way down there, and honestly, the only way I can describe what happened when we first met the church, Calvary Chapel St. Paul, the people there, and I've known them for a long time. And so there's this second part of this that'll come out tonight, because the first one was the labor of the church. And I was accepted in the beloved. My whole family was. We were accepted in the beloved. There was none of this, measuring of whether or not, you know, it was worthy to be in the church service. And so this instruction that I see Paul bringing forth, you know, it comes down to this, Phoebe being a deacon of the church, a deaconess of the church in Centria, yet, I mean, still is then commended, and Paul's exhorting them to receive her in the Lord. And that's that phrase, this is us. I know my wife works really diligent with the ladies. When someone new is in church, there's a new woman in church, she should have at least five people have talked to her and greeted her in the Lord on a very first visit. And these are the things: accepted in the beloved, receive her in the Lord as become a saint. And then this next phrase, he says, and assist her in whatsoever business she has need of you. That part of her going to Rome from Centria carrying the letter, it doesn't seem to be her primary reason for going. But he's even instructing the church there, whatever she needs to accomplish the work that she is there for. And then he describes to them, he says, for she hath been a succor of many and of myself also. And I looked up the word, I'm like, oh, helper. But that's not the word. Now, in that, it's an interesting word, and I don't know how the King James translators arrived at that, except I guess it's a good word, and so they used it. But this is the feminine version of the word that is described, one who rules, or leader, or one who stands before. And so we find out here, again, as I look at this, and describe to you that Phoebe is a deaconess that's a ministry leader in the church. And you know, you wonder what it is about accepted and the beloved. And I've been around long enough to take a look at where things go wrong in church. And you think about what Pastor Chick brought to us men. He brought something very important on a scale of when things go way wrong with darkness and light. And I think that's very effective for us. But there's a whole scale in between here now. Even as I described to you, I think chapter 16, at least up until we get to 17, is what's going right in the church. It's the people who are laboring in the church, and it's the people who are loving in the church. And you get down to verse 17, that's where, be very honest with you, that's where Paul's going to lay out that there are those in the church that are causing divisions and offenses. So that happens too. So when we went through the last chapter of 2 Timothy, it was a very important step for us going through all that to grow up in the ministry and have a measure of maturity that some stay, some go, some went back to the world. And this part of like describing to us in church about being accepted in the beloved, and then to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus, but take all the time to form your relationships with other and knit your hearts together in love in the body of Christ. And as I describe this, that where their succor is, she's a ministry leader. She stands before the saints as a deaconess. Maybe she's the women's ministry leader in Centria. Now, we don't know that. I'm just saying that's the word that's used. But then Paul said, I'll describe to her that she was, you think about not slothful in business. You think about how he wrote that to the Romans in chapter 12 about how forward and earnest. Well, this is Phoebe. That she was one who stood before to minister, again, in that earnestness of doing the labor, if you will. And I am using that word on purpose tonight, labor. And then he says that she also was a one to minister to the Apostle Paul. Verse 3 says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. So we're introduced to them in Acts 18, and Paul then together does ministry with them, and then they also take Apollo aside and then show him the way more perfectly. And they have a very active role in the church at Corinth. They make their way Ephesus. Apollo was there. But by the time Paul's writing back to the Romans, they're no longer in Corinth, and they're now living in Rome. Once again, they had been kicked out by a previous policy maker in the government, right? Again, it sound very familiar of things that the church would go through. And then them being Jews, all the Jews were kicked out of Rome, and now they're able to go back. And so they're back in Rome, and he describes them as my helpers in Christ Jesus. So once again, you have that word secure, which is the word for one to rule or stand before a ministry leader. Now you have the word helpers, and like, oh, is that we think of the Holy Spirit as a helper. And again, that's not quite the word. This is the word where we would say co-laborers, or a worker together with, then with the root of the Greek word, which we normally would get works or to work, the ergon. And so it's understood who are Priscilla and Aquila. Again, they're husband and wife, and I think this is great. I go back to this accepted in the beloved, knowing what I've learned, been assured of. And I need to instruct all of you on this way. I followed instructions before I knew what they were. Does that make sense? Followed the instructions. And you look at Priscilla and Aquila, and again, so this phrase comes forth to me. If I'm called, this was presented to both my wife and I, you have Priscilla and Aquila, and I would say they did more together than either one of them ever would have done apart. And so here's the phrase that was shared with me, is if I'm called, my wife's called. Now, not every ministry sets it up that way. Okay? But I'm just handing these off, being blessed to be a co-laborer. Again, if you have your Thompson Chain Bible, spiritual laborers, you might think of this as the way our Lord taught to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers, workers, into the harvest. This married couple is laboring in the church to teach, to preach, to work together to really build up the church. He describes in verse 4 as co-laborers, he says, who have for my life laid down their own necks. They risked their own lives. By this we know love. He laid his life down for us. We also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. This type of co-laborer, not just, okay, we don't really get along, we'll labor in this field, you labor in that field. This is an awareness like those that are, they had labored together. They literally labored to meet their needs, to provide their own needs, making tents while they were in Corinth. And so they had labored in that together. And I think that's also where, if I may, where God knit their hearts together in love. Now, I'm taking a liberty there because we don't know that, but I do read here that as co-laborers, they laid down their own necks, meaning they stood right in that place and said, took the risk on behalf of the Apostle Paul. You go back to when Paul was in Corinth and you find out that looked like he was going to be beat there as well and sent out of town. And the Lord said, no, I've got many people here. And the Lord himself stood by and encouraged him to not shrink back, but to go forward. And he taught there for a year and a half. Now, we come to this place of setting your mind on loving one another in the context of hearts knit together in love, accepted in the beloved, that initials accepted in the beloved. And there's this walking worthy of the calling with which we're called. As you come into church, you should be learning how to follow Jesus in the instructions, in the doctrine which we have in the scriptures, which is then to be taught and followed to walk in love, to walk in the light. And again, taking the things we've been listening to, and I think this is an important part, lay down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks. But then look at this phrase he says here, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Now, Paul writes this, and again, picks this up with the other churches, that we can live our lives in such a way, and think how wonderful this would be, that even if you never knew anything about it, but that the others in the church, and again, whether it be in the church that you would say this is your local body, or that you've gone and you've maybe traveled, done ministry, or been called upon to, or you took a missions trip, wouldn't it be wonderful to find out when you get to heaven all this thanksgiving that's gone up to God concerning how you've laid down your life? Now, in hearing this and then sharing it with us as church, it really comes down to each one of us to be personally responsible and then answer the call together with one another that this is how we're going to be. That we're going to walk in the light of the truth and walk in the light as He's in light. We're going to walk in love. We're going to walk worthy of the calling. We're going to do those things that are becoming of saints. And it may come a point in time where it has to be tangibly done that you lay down your life for another. That their life would be either better, or you step in by the Holy Spirit to love in that way. That I love that phrase. Paul says, I give thanks. He says, but when I go around, the Gentile churches, the churches of the Gentiles, they're thanking God for Priscilla and Aquila. Now, that would be sufficient, that others would thank God for us as a church. I think that would be a great stance. You take that approach as we go forth and do what God's called us to do. None of this is set forth to, well, I hope people like it. But rather that if our ways please the Lord, that it would bless the other churches. And again, you think about the churches of the Gentiles, and there you get the plural. And I think this when I say, do you love the church? I could be talking about, do you love the church, us here? But now I start to stretch you to this truth as the churches of the Gentiles, and this becomes an important part. And then just like they hosted church in their home when they were in Corinth, he says, likewise greet the church that is in their house. Now, no large buildings, no public gatherings, no money, no building projects. Now, this is the days when no measurement of the 66.7% of the size of the building, standing room only, church. How many people couldn't you get in a house? Now, I've seen down in, where we're going to go in Mexico here in 3-4 weeks, my first time with Calvary Chapel Santa Fe was in Jorge and Erica's rented house. And there were 3 people in the church besides Jorge and Erica. I was there when the church was 5 people. And why I describe that, now when we go back down there, you're going to be blown away. John and I did outreach. That was our 2-person mission trip. It was John and me, and we were doing outreach with three others from Calvary Chapel Santa Fe. And that was the outreach that day, busy intersection, going out and handing out cards and trying to talk with people about Jesus. And when we went back many years later, the couple, the gal that we met, now her husband and her come to church there, and he was translating for us on one of the teachings just a few years ago. To be around long enough to be able to write some of this stuff like Paul's going to write. I encourage you here that this part of it would have been so easy to quit or to make church about something else all along the way. And when people don't like something, and again, at this point, you need to realize those that stayed continued. He describes, if you thought like Priscilla and Aquila, they're the real deal. They're having church in their home in Corinth. They moved to Rome. They just pick up right with what they're doing. And as they go back and do that, and then he says, salute the well-beloved E. How do I pronounce that? Oh, Chris is out there. Chris pronounced it probably perfectly when we were, he read Romans 16. Salute my well-beloved E, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Again, I like this because the focus is still the gospel. And hey, when we took the gospel, many times you find out, like, hey, that's how the church got started. That person got saved. Now, I like this certain excitement to live this way, and now I'll give you some more background. And just starting church here and all these things. And again, as I would pray, the Holy Spirit very consistently saying this phrase, do not build on another man's foundation. When I would think about it, it'd be so much easier than paying all this money to rent a space twice a week. And since we established fellowship from the beginning, you would think maybe differently than I do about this. But when I'm going to have a church service, be it Wednesday or Sunday, I need at least 4 hours, right, for fellowship. Because you got the service and you have worship and you have to have this fellowship time because we're going to be fellowship junkies. And I just know that. And I need you all to understand you are very much unique and a minority amongst church. And some of you have been attended a church service elsewhere. And like, where did all the people go? We show up early. We stay late and we fellowship. Now there's a bit to this because I started working with a title, to participate or partake. We've been studying through 1 Peter, and I've been insisting that we partake in all of Jesus. And likewise, this the fellowship that we have in Christ, and to participate, to partake, to be a part of that. What we see here with the well-beloved. So now you get quickly onto this, the labor of the church, but you also now get onto the love of the church. And Paul lays it out. He says, my well-beloved. Same phrase that the Father would use of his beloved Son in whom he's well pleased. The phrase that Paul doesn't hand out to everybody but does identify as he thinks about the church in Rome, and again the church that was meeting with Priscilla and Aquila, and it looks to me like E, who would have also been from Achaia, which puts him at Corinth, he probably went with Priscilla and Aquila to Rome and now is a part of the church there and serving there. Now this part, to stir all of you up onto this, that this is what you read, what the church is like. So you go back to walking worthy or what's becoming of the saints, and where you learn and you're assured of these things, and to extend that love. And that's always, that's always my word to everybody who comes in. I usually check later on, were you loved when you got here? And I think that's a very important thing to have together. Well-beloved, the love of the church. First fruits, the first one saved in Corinth, more than likely. Stephanas and E, again, as you look at the two letters, 1 Corinthians into 16, of the house of Stephanas, so maybe this is his boy. I don't know that. But you start to see how this really works out into what is the church and who are the church. And when people say, I'm just upset at the church, well, which ones? Who aren't you addressing things with? As if the church is some nameless, faceless sort of kind of organization that, like, or you don't like a policy of the church. I mean, what you're telling me is you don't love the church. You're not knitting together in love because we have all these instructions how to interact, how to love one another, how to forgive one another. Just a simple one, love and forgiveness. Receiving one another, love and forgiveness. Listening to one another, again, praying for one another. So you have the love, you have the labor of the church, the love of the church, you have the co-laborers who are laboring together, getting others saved, gathering the church together, doing the services. Greet Mary, verse 6, who bestowed much labor upon us. Again, another word, and compounded together to get bestowed much labor is one Greek word. And this is that labor, laboring to the point of exhaustion. So this again is that labor of the church. Paul, when he gathered the elders of Ephesus to Miletus, and he recounts Acts 20 is very much a parallel to Romans 14, 15, 16. And so again, Acts 20 is the place where he gathers it, and how he describes that he had not shunned to declare the whole council. And it's that part where he's writing to the church, and he says in Acts 20, 35, that he was shown by laboring this way, he was to support the weak. And if you ever looked at what he did, is even when he was in Corinth, he would take that part of the day when everybody else would rest. Again, then he would be preaching the gospel, and then he'd be laboring to meet the needs by making the tents. And that was his way. And that's how he lived. And so this woman named Mary says, "Greet her who bestowed much labor upon us." She caught that laboring, maybe from the Apostle Paul, doing all these things to meet the needs of others, laboring in such a way. And this is why, again, I'll give you another phrase that I've learned and been assured of, right? When I use the phrase servants serve at the beginning, this other one, servants, right, stay till the end, until everything is accomplished and done. Volunteers can leave at any time. Mary, not a volunteer. Now, at some point, this exchange of how we've been going through the scriptures, listening to the Holy Spirit, putting these things in front of us, and it really is to cause us as we study the Word of God, you know, and the people aspect. And again, stop thinking about yourself so much. I mean, I think this is just a good word for us, church, in this day and age when we're I would say clearly by the Holy Spirit, living in the days when men will be lovers of themselves, boasters, proud, arrogant. We're in those days. And so just this identifying mark upon us to love God and love others, to take to heart that not just the talking about the commands to love one another, but to take that in a practical outworking to labor. And in that case, she's an example of one who labored to the point of exhaustion to meet the needs of the Apostle Paul. Maybe when she was in Corinth, we don't know when or where, but this is the labor of the church. It's good to have and to be those in church that, and there's times when we've had that go on here in various, maybe it's on a missions trip. I think of that one trip where we were with pickaxes, you know, reburying the sewer line through clay and rock. And it was labor. But I think the trip also, I don't think we've had a trip that our hearts were knit closer and tighter together over the laboring together in the Lord. Great trip, very hard work. 7, salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles. Doesn't mean they are apostles. I don't think that's the way the grammar is written. They are noted among the apostles, meaning that the apostles, the original 12 of Christ, knew them. They probably were saved. He says they were in Christ before me. So it looks like Paul probably saved about 3 or 4 years after Pentecost. And so again, early saints, and now as they're there, and again, some from way back, some new, but it's the people. And he says here, my kinsmen. So Jews that were, they may have been there on Pentecost or again, and now they're living in Rome. And he's describing them as fellow prisoners. So in interesting, therefore, relationship. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. So back to the labor of the church, the love of the church. So they seem to go hand in hand with Paul as he's describing Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. And he says, salute Urbane or Urbanus, our helper in Christ. Now, the word there for helper is the same one that we looked at for Priscilla and Aquila. So this, again, also identifying Urbane here as a co-laborer in Christ. So back to praying for laborers, helpers. And then he's back to Stachys, my beloved. So you get this. And this to me is the church, the labor of the church, the love of the church. And many times when we've had some either like very difficult work to get done, or it's like a lot, like someone did a lot of things. And a lot of times my wife would say to me, we should really do something for them. I said, that's their ministering unto the Lord. Let's protect that so nobody really knows that. Let's keep that as their reward. I don't know how many conferences you've been to and they want you to clap for those that have provided the meals and have done the serving. And I'm just like, how about you just let them have that? They know what they've done. And so it's a really good thing that just bringing this up in this way, even as Paul identifies them, he's not spilling out what they've done. He's talking, I love the church, right? We've labored together. We serve the Lord together. And think about sharing the gospel with someone. Like when he's thinking about Epaphras or the household of Stephanas, he's probably led them to the Lord. This type of stuff with the church, like when we answer the call to go forth, and again, it's going to happen, right? You do realize we've been praying for God to prepare the conditions that there would be a desire once again for people to be saved. People are going to come into church, or when we're doing outreach, all of you should expect to go forth in love in the gospel that you might be leading someone to the Lord this summer, and then discipling them. And you lead someone to the Lord, and then again, think of that first fruits concept, and then laboring together, beloved. And you should have those that you're working on. I know a lot of times we're exhorted when the men are together, and the women, and the women with the women, the men with the men. And it's like, you need friends in church. And again, men and women can't be friends. If there's another saying that I picked up, if you think you can, you're wrong. Okay, just working through that truth. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Again, that kind of matches together, accepted and approved, accepted in the beloved. And maybe he had a past. I think this is enough for us to say here that when you have someone who had a horrible, sinful past and they get saved, it sometimes it's just like, yeah, accept it. This the Apostle Paul, when he's Saul and he shows back up in Jerusalem, people are like, what, he's a fake. He's just trying to sneak in a different way. He's a fake. And then Barnabas, the son of encouragement, comes, finds the whole thing out and brings him in and says, he's the real deal. That's kind of like Apelles here, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. Interestingly enough, we don't know if Aristobulus is saved, but seems there are those who are saved in his household. Salute Herodian, my kinsman. Again, another kinsman. Paul's talking about Jewish born of Israel. Greet them that which be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Again, those are also women. I think this is important for us to see, because there's been a lot of flack over the whole men and women in ministry. And again, I read my Bible and it's like, it's clear. Get to work. Both men and women, labor in the Lord. Don't trouble yourself with all these things. I see that they're listed as those who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. So the labored much. This is the same word that we find in verse 6 with Mary, who bestowed much labor. This again, these three are listed here as Paul thinks about the church. He thinks that just how much ministry they've done for the saints. Now, that to me is it's a high calling to be a servant. And you think about this, and I took a back seat tonight in worship, just to worship the Lord. Wanted to kneel, wanted to stand up, and just again express that to the Lord. And I just look around, and I remember when Wednesday night was two people here, just like I can remember Jorge and Erica, Calvary Chapel Santa Fe, in their home. I remember when we were there, and their gifted Honda Prelude was stolen right out from in front of their house. And that's welcome to Tijuana. There's more cars stolen in one night in Tijuana than the entire year in Fargo, by the stats. It's rather interesting. But I was there when that's going on, and then to find that, and then just looking around tonight, and this part here, it's just 20 years of labor. And this part for all of us, like when you think about what do you love the church? When people have done things here and then they go away and then people want to ask me about things, I said, well, first, let's just get one thing straight. Nobody loved them more than I did, because you're a person. They're not going to like everything you do. Right? Just encourage you, those who labor in the Lord. So, labored much. Paul describes his relationship to the Corinthian church, who didn't like him very much after a while. He described a grace to labor more abundantly than all the others. So if God gives you more grace, what should you do with that grace? That's the way he describes that. 1 Corinthians 15:10, if you want the reference. Rufus, chosen in the Lord, his mother and mine. Maybe a reference to Simon, who was conscripted to carry the cross. He had two boys, Alexander and Rufus. Be rather interesting if he's the same Rufus. Now, it's somewhat of a common name, but intriguing enough in the scriptures to put that together. Even when Paul says his mother and mine, like, wouldn't that be an interesting thing that Paul maybe disowned by his mom and the guy who carried Jesus' cross, his wife, had two boys, Rufus and Alexander. Paul took Paul in as her own son. This type of stuff that you get into the people aspect, the participants that love, the participants that labor, that this is the church. And I've asked this question, and again, I kind of lay it out, and I'll do it here because we're almost wrapping up for tonight. Is, are you a participant or an attendee? Now, attend is not a bad word when you look up the definition of it, just like if you look up the word patron or patroness, it's not a bad word, but when someone is patronizing, it's completely changed. It used to be that if somebody was patronizing, it was in dear and it was in truth. And now we say patronizing, oh, it's fake. That's kind of the way the word gets used. And even when I think about this instruction to us, like to attend, like an attendant, you think of attendance at a wedding. A bridesmaid is an attendant. They attend to the things that are to be done. But now when I make a difference in church between a participant and a spectator, and that's how I use the word attendee. And this is that part, what I see with Paul. And then it's the people of the church. Salute A, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobas, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Again, probably another one of the house churches. Salute Philologus and Julia and Nerus. Interesting background on a couple of these. That Ampelius, back in verse 8, they found one of the early tombs in the catacombs in Rome has this guy's name on it, that he died in 95 AD. And then there's the children of Nerus were known. So you have Philologus and Julia Nerus and his sister and Olympus. You're catching all the names and the saints that are with them. He's greeting the church. He's saluting the church. He's loving the church. And this part, especially now when you think of denominations. You think of just how much denominations has done what to the body of Christ. Segregated it, get them to kind of be all at odds. And I kid you not, happened again last week. I'm out in public, Bible, I think last Saturday, Saturday before, Bible's open. And great, see what you're doing. And say, you follow Jesus too. And he says, right away, where do you go to church? And just like, I go to the Church of Jesus. Where's that? It's everywhere in town. It's everywhere in the world. But he was insistent that he had to know. But my encouragement to you is like we just take these things that we've learned and picked up in greeting the saints. When you find other believers, again, look for the witness of the Spirit. Look for that witness, again, of the Holy Spirit, and you share that. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. That's the way it started out. It didn't take very long where that got corrupted over what was being said about the kisses of the church. And so then you have the early church fathers writing. So again, this isn't like meant to be perverse, but that's the way it had been twisted. But this, I mean, I read through this whole thing. I think of genuine church in Romans 12 as a genuine love. Like really to take that up and then to labor for one another. I mean, I think it's time that we all take a good look at this. Because this is going to be brought upon us before too long, that you're not going to have money to hire services after a while. It will be when money and economic downturn comes. It's going to happen at some point. Persecution. It's going to happen. But we shouldn't face this like, oh no, my life of ease is going away. We should be well equipped right now within here and say, no problem. Anything pops up in the church, I know 20 men who'd be right there. Ladies, like I know 20 women who'd be right there to help take care and meet those needs. But we have to start living this out. Like, if you think about it, the government of which the gospel began in, it looks to me like Jesus in his first coming came in into that government. In his second coming, it looks like the same government's going to be in place. a ruler of the world. I mean, you look at this whole thing, and that means that as believers, it's going to happen in this country too, like it has everywhere else, that it's just going to be a matter of time before things turn. And it literally is going to have to be that the church is going to need to really love each other, and we're going to be laboring together. We're going to be meeting each other's needs, and that's the way it's going to be. So I think it's a great thing to live out. Now, I want to introduce next week for you, verse 17. It's worth it. This is a maturity step. So even when we talk about laboring in love, what's Paul? Paul knows this. He says, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses. You think of studying the third letter of John, you're like, there's the guy who wants to have preeminence. Paul just says, or John says, that's not the way it is to be. Paul here says to the Romans, he says, those that, again, if we think of tonight, labor and love of the church, now you would have those that are divisive and contrary to the, and divide, you know, divisions, dividing, and what's the other D word? Well, offenses. I don't, there must be a D word somewhere in my head, but I can't remember what it was. Should have wrote it down. But avoid them. Now, I think this is probably where most of the trouble goes on, because for some reason, we can't put this two together, where there's labor and love of those that are doing that. And in the same context, you have to say what? Well, those that are dividing, not following the doctrine of Christ, not operating that way, want something different, not loving, not forgiving, not laboring, twisting these things. All the way, Paul's writing when he writes to church, he says, here he says, avoid them. So that's next week's study. That's where we start out, and then we'll get back onto the names again. But, so I encourage y'all, you know, why wouldn't you be here? Right? You just think about praying, planning, participating, and just laying that out and say, you know what? When am I going to stop just like building my calendar around what I like to do next? I remember living that way. I remember planning with if something better pops up, I'm out of here. And that's the way I lived. I had to learn that part, like, yeah, this is the next thing we're doing. And so I just encourage y'all, answer the call and pray, plan, participate. Now, here's the good part as you wrap up for tonight. Men's conference. I think there was only like one or two guys that didn't make it to the men's conference. Women's retreat this last year. Just one or two who didn't make it there. Do you hear that? What's going on? So remember when I described here a few weeks back how the Holy Spirit gave those two verses 7 years ago, and that was this year's theme for the men's conference and the women's retreat, and the Holy Spirit dropped that in there. And I put this forth in this way. Now is not the time to shrink back. In fact, I would say we're not of those who draw back unto perdition, but we're those who believe to the saving of the soul. If there's anything I can compel you with tonight, is do it. Go serve the Lord. You know, whatever you have to get right in your personal life, whatever's dragging you another direction, that's where the cross. And again, just like say, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to labor at reaching souls for Christ, and I'm going to disciple other believers, and I'm going to read my Bible, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to follow the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to love. Because isn't agape, unless I somehow have missed it in the scriptures, that agape is not a feeling. It's decision. I will lay down my life. I will love. I will serve. And that's my encouragement to us. And let's write our own, not our own chapter of the Bible, but in your own life, write your own list of your people. You know, I have a list of guys I used to play volleyball with, and that's what we really had in common. And for 10 years, I mean, and then this tournament, and we had all these stories, but it's all vanity. But now when I get together with my co-laborers and we get together, and so let's build this. Let's truly lay down our lives and love one another. And my thing is, I'm not prophesying that things are going to get worse. The Bible's prophesying that. So as we prepare ourselves for whatever may coming, is anybody going to be surprised when jobs start disappearing and money starts disappearing? And the common people aren't going to be able to have and do whatever they want to do. I'm not going to be surprised. I'm just going to look at all of you and say, we're ready for this. Who's got room? Who can take care of this? Who's got food? Who has a car? Who has gas? Who can make this happen? And we learn to live that way, because when that starts going on, we're going to have an influx of people looking for help. And what are we going to say to them? You're ready. And share the gospel with them in love, right? And meet their needs, bring them into the body of Christ, teach them, accept them. And I'll get this one, of all kinds. You do realize that this world has devoured certain classes of people, used them to further agendas. There are going to be many who had sought to change their genders. They're going to come to the conclusion, like, I'm either going to kill myself or I need help from God. That type of stuff's going to be going on. So you got to be ready for all this, right? Word of God, love of God. So that's enough for tonight. So, Heavenly Father, come and fill us with your Holy Spirit. Fill us under the fullness of the love of God, that it overflows our lives, and give us a sense to labor even more abundantly in the Lord. Prepare the missionaries from our church that are going to Mexico. Prepare us for next Thursday night. I ask, Lord, you'd bring out hundreds of people. The weather would be fantastic, and this would catch on, and that there would be many that would come out, that every outreach we have planned this summer, that the love of God in us would flow out to the lost, and to when we encounter other believers, they would be thanking God for servants like that. We give you our lives, and just count it tonight that this list that labored and loved, and Paul was right. This is the church. Make us the church that we would have something like this in all of our lives. And may we be a partaker of that and not just a spectator. Just praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.